Hey, everybody. It's Tim Moore at The Bulwark here with my colleague Jonathan Last. We have some breaking news in Minneapolis that we are going to stream with you guys. Federal agents shot and killed another person in South Minneapolis about 2 hours ago now. City leaders are going to be having a press conference here shortly, which we will take you guys to. Governor Walz has already put out a statement saying that this is sickening, that the president must end this operation and pull the untrained officers out of Minnesota now. Protests are gathering around the site of the shooting. I got to tell you, it's unimaginably grotesque, this shooting. That's going to be a little bit of a tough watch. You're kind of at a distance, so this, you don't need a blood trigger warning, but just the execution style killing might be triggering. So we're going to play that for you. Then me and JVL will discuss it. And then we'll take you to Minneapolis. So let's take a watch. This is the second federal agent killing in Minneapolis.
Too much, man. And they keep pushing people, you know?
And I'd keep an eye on the left side of the screen here. There's obviously a lot of agents, but on the left side, you can see the guy.
The fuck? Did they fucking kill that guy? Are you fucking kidding me, dude?
Yeah. So you heard there.
Are you fucking kidding me? That guy's dead. Yo, we need people on site.
So you heard, I don't know if you could hear it, the gunshots. We did the one gunshot, then a couple more, and then at the end, this like pop, 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 pop. I mean, maybe 10 shots were fired for a guy on the ground. I should say at this point, they have leaked to Fox News, shockingly, that the guy was carrying a weapon. So, JVL, what are your initial reactions?
I mean, it looks to be between 7 and 9 agents. It is, I mean, I guess we're hearing that they are CPB, but, you know, nobody knows who they are.
It's kind of the same. I'm using ICE as sort of shorthand at this point for ICBB.
Right. DHS.
DHS,
one of the DHS agencies. And you see on the left-hand side of the screen, somebody, one of them pistol whipping the guy in the head, which, again, I'm not sure that you're supposed to, if you are an armed agent of the state, be using your weapon as a blunt object, right? I mean, if you're not supposed to draw your weapon until you're ready to shoot, right? And you shouldn't be shooting in a scrum because you've got all these arms and legs right there. I mean, that, like, this looks like a cartel street execution. That's what this looks like. It looks like what you would expect from a disorganized group of thugs beating somebody on the street and then executing them, not like actual law enforcement professionals doing a job. It should not take 7 to 9 guys heavily tacked out to subdue somebody if he was even in need of subduing. And, you know, Minneapolis allows you to carry. And so if this guy was carrying a gun, which again, we'll see, they you can open carry and you can conceal carry with a permit in Minneapolis, in Minnesota. And this is why the Second Amendment exists, right? It exists for exactly situations like this, which is something that every conservative in America would have told you until 10 years ago.
Yeah, I want to get into that and have a deeper conversation about that in a second. Just a few more things, real quick, just on the facts here. I mean, we don't know at this point what preceded that scrum, right? So we'll wait and see. It does look like there are some other cameras on the scene, and you see a woman also taking a video from the other side. So I assume we'll be getting other vantage points, just as we did with the Renee Good killing. I want to pull up this one image. It's like, this is a still, because I know it's kind of hard for people to see there, you know, what's happening. All these guys are kind of dressed the same, but you see the guy in the red circle on the left side of the screen. And at this point, all of the agents have backed up. The victim is lying on the ground and mm-hmm. he is still gun drawn firing.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I don't know how you can look at that and think, who cares what happened before? It's sort of one of these things, right? Like, I, you know, who knows like what this guy was doing or why they were, you know, potentially feeling like they were, that this was required to have nine guys tear this guy down. But like at this point, obviously nobody is at risk. Multiple gunshots have been fired and this dude is still emptying his clip on the left side. One other thing I just want to mention about the kind of the facts of what we know now is that local Minnesota police went to secure the scene. The DHS officials tried to push them away and kind of do, you know, what you see in the movies, like this is a federal scene. This is FBI.
I'm Agent Johnson. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Doing that shtick. And good on the Minnesota local police chief announced that he said, no, we are going to secure the scene. Some of the ICE agents, though, did flee the scene in their cars. So, you know, which is, you know, again, not a cop, but don't believe that's standard operating procedure when there is a shooting.
It does seem to be standard operating procedure in Minnesota for the DHS agents, right? This is now the third time they've fled the scene of a shooting.
Yeah. And you see one of the guys walking away there, like pulling his mask up. I'm sorry to laugh. It was just so fucking macabre, but like pulling his mask up higher. You know, right. He's like, I know what just happened. I see that people are videoing, and like he pulls his mask up even higher on his face as they flee the scene.
Protesters then started showing up, people converging on the scene, and reports of flashbangs being deployed and gas. I mean, the video from the scene itself is astonishing that this is America.
And I'm
trying to sort of keep it all inside right now, but the level of incandescent rage I'm feeling and is tempered only by my unbelievable admiration for the people of Minnesota who have been out and organizing, not just like giving up their time, but at tremendous personal risk to their lives. And it should shame every fucking David Ellison and Jeff Bezos and rich person in America who, you know, Tim Cook showing up with his golden apple, people who have absolutely nothing to lose because nobody can ever touch them. And they knuckled under where just normal people in Minneapolis are putting their livelihoods, their bodies, their lives on the line to try to stop this descent into authoritarianism.
Yeah.
And it's tremendous heroism.
It is. And to that point, so here we now are live on the scene here. After they killed somebody, the agents fired off tear gas to try to disperse the protests that were gathering there. It does not appear that is going to be successful. You see the agents there in gas masks as they menace the peaceful protesters who are coming to the scene. The tear gas has dissipated a little bit in this video about 20 minutes ago. You know, I was watching the stream and it seriously looked like Fallujah, the level of, and you saw just these regular citizens kind of walking through the scene, you know, having to cover their face as they're just trying to express their First Amendment right. Minnesota Star Tribune, I just want to mention, has also said that ICE has transported several witnesses into detention. So
totally normal thing to do, not something that repressive regimes do. I mean, this is, again, I am sorry to both interrupt and belabor the point, but this is what you would have expect in Rodrigo Duterte's Philippines. It's what you would have expected in, like, you know, the Stasi East Germany. It's what you'd expect, frankly, in Hong Kong right now from the Chinese regime, right? And not to mention, like, you know, I'm sorry we have to make the historical parallel, but, like, you know, late 1930s Germany. Like, this is happening, and it's real. And I'm sorry, Tim. I'm just going to keep filibustering here. There is this thing going on in America where people are like, yeah, it's bad, but don't get carried away. It's not real fascism, not yet. And like, it isn't for me. You know, I'm living in New York City. You know, things are fine basically here, but this is sure as shit real fascism in Minneapolis. Like, real deal, actual, might as well be East Germany following the Cold War fascism. And it's happening, and it's fucking real, and it's spectacular, and it's going on right now. And the idea that, like, well, it's not in my neighborhood, so that makes it not real. That's not how these things work. The curtain doesn't always descend all same time everywhere, right? It comes down in pockets. And the inability of people in America to understand that it's a big country and that their experience is not universal is one of our great liabilities here, because this is happening.
We have a press conference coming here in about 5 minutes. That's when it's scheduled. We'll see. We'll take you to it when we get there. Our friend Chris Ostrushko, Minnesota Angry Guy, is on the scene as well. We might be grabbing him when we get the chance. In the meantime, I want to discuss kind of the response here from government officials and from what local officials might be considering in Minnesota. There have been two conversations I've had on the podcast recently that have been pretty striking. One is when I had Mayor Fry on, who I think we'll be hearing from soon. And he basically said, we're considering all our options as far as whether we should have our local officials arrest federal officials. Bluntly said that the only thing preventing him from doing that is that they have more guns and there's concerns about escalation. I do wonder how long that calculus remains the same. Governor Walz, you're already seeing a lot of people say that he should call in the National Guard. That also bears some risks, right? Because Trump could then federalize the National Guard, right? And then you have some kind of standoff. On yesterday's pod, Mike Murphy, who is a pretty norms-abiding Republican, which is, I think, why it's interesting that he offered this quote. I'm just going to pull up the quote, or myself, I'm just going to read the quote. He said, I'm pulling for guns. I'm for pulling guns. I'm for settling this. I mean, that's pretty extreme, but they're scooping up American citizens like the Gestapo. So yeah, we have a Minnesota State Patrol. I'm not for a gunfight, but I'm for maxing out municipal and state of Minnesota power to stop this. I'm just not shy about this when American Gestapo is out of control. I just thought that was a pretty... some of the commenters yesterday said that I looked shocked by that. And it was mostly that I looked shocked coming from Mike Murphy, right? Like that is where we're at right now. That, you know, there are some pretty level-headed, reasonable people saying that what Governor Walz and Mayor Fry should be doing right now is basically escalating this to a constitutional crisis between federal officials and local officials and local law enforcement versus federal law enforcement. I wonder how you think they should be thinking about that at this point.
You know, I really, it's hard. You could see it going very bad, right? And I am basically an accelerationist because I feel like the slow slide has made the slide more possible where, you know, again, if you just like jump back to January 6th, well, maybe if January 6th had gone really sideways, maybe if a bunch of legislators had been killed, maybe if the Capitol Police had opened fire and killed a few hundred of the insurrectionists, maybe people would not have been so willing to be like, you know, let's do Trump again. But accelerationism has risks. It has real risks. And I mean, I don't want to say civil war because I don't think civil war is possible. But this, I mean, we are engaged in a low grade civil conflict. Like that's just the reality of what this is. And we're eating the federal government against state governments and in ways that we really haven't seen since the civil rights era, except that this time the federal government are the baddies. But you know, this is what all of us were freaked out about when it started with, you know, deploying the National Guard into Southern California and then into DC. And then the huge ICE escalations in Chicago. It sure looks to me, and you tell me what you think, Tim.
Yeah.
Like the federal government wants to provoke an armed conflict between it and the states.
Yeah. I mean, I think that they're interested in it. I'm not sure that's exactly what happened in this case. And I think that their response will be different. You know, because I do think there are two things that are happening here. One, I think you have some malicious people, particularly Stephen Miller and the vice president, who do want escalation so they can crack down more. I also think we have a lot of morons and Dean Cain types out on the street here who have no idea what the fuck they're doing. And so I don't want to, you know, get inside the mind of this ICE agent and be like, this guy was trying to escalate to Revolutionary War. He just might be a fucking idiot and a coward, you know? And so I don't want to leave open the option for that. I want to pull up just this kind of a zoomed in screenshot here, because I do think this is also important. You know, it appears that this agent has disarmed him. Like, there's one of these agents has pulls out a gun. It's kind of hard to see depending on how close you are to the screen here, but you can see the gun come out here, and you know, which again, who, maybe the guy had two weapons. I don't know. The government's saying that he had one weapon and two magazines, but you know, it's not even defensible to shoot a guy on the ground 10 times, even if he did have a weapon. But I do think it's an interesting and noteworthy that it appears that they had already pulled the weapon out before this guy started unloading his clip on him. I do want to talk about the Second Amendment side of this, unless you have something on that.
Well, I just want to ask you about this, and this will lead into the Second Amendment side. Do you think that people who are protesting should be armed? Because one of the things that I have noticed through the years is that when people who are out protesting in force are obviously and clearly armed, the federal government tends to treat them with much more kid drama. I'm thinking about like Clive and Bundy. Remember the ranchers out in, I think it was Montana, right? Who were like staking out federal lands with all their guns. And, you know, the feds decided to resolve that with court orders and not beatdowns and public executions. On the other hand, history does suggest that peaceful protests are the way to wind up levering power against oppressive regimes.
Yeah.
And so I don't know what I don't know. I'm just curious what your thoughts are. Like, you know, should people in Minnesota who have firearms at home, who have, you know, open carry or concealed carry permits, when they go out, should they be armed and obviously armed?
I don't think I'm a no on that, but I'm kind of I'm a wimp. I'm not a gun person in general. And this does lead you into, and I think that, you know, the peaceful protests, I do think are very important as far as carrying political weight, as far as getting pushback against this regime, because while I think probably we've done this a million times, probably some percentage of the MAGA base wants civil war and insurrection. There's another portion that doesn't, right? And winning those people over, I think, is an important part of the political objective. But look, people have the right to carry their guns.
Look at these guys on the screen, Tim.
It's fucking pathetic. Look,
look at these guys with their hoodies and their covering like, their no uniforms, faces. Covering their faces like a bunch of cosplayers
invading Minneapolis. So I don't, you know, I haven't looked at the murder rates in the last week since I talked to the mayor. But when the mayor was on 8 days ago, he said to me, "There's been two shootings, deadly shootings in Minneapolis, St. Paul, since the beginning of the year. One by the ICE agent killing Renee Good, and one by one other person. So now we've got two on the ICE ledger of this. Like, the idea that you need these guys to invade the city right now is preposterous from the start. And that's why I sort of reject. That's why I hate the like, oh, you know, what if the guy was resisting? It's kind of like, these guys shouldn't have been there. There shouldn't have been nine mass thugs going after this guy, no matter what happened. And we're going to keep our eye out for additional video so that we know exactly what happened. But at some level, it doesn't matter because this is totally unnecessary. This is an invasion of the city of Minneapolis, and people have a right to want to push back. And this is where, I don't know, we'll see over the next 24 hours. But I don't bet that any of these, you know, smooth-brained, you know, Second Amendment hardliners, NRA types, are going to be coming out in the next 24 hours and saying, you know what? This is exactly what we need. People with weapons shooting at a tyrannical government. And so, like, that whole argument that these fucking assholes have been, like, thrusting on us. Like, we have to accept the deaths of children in our schools just in case the government ever impinges on my rights. I want to be armed so that I can push back against them. Well, here's the government impinging on people's rights in a city and breaking the law and being authoritarian. And as soon as these fucking jackbooted thugs kill somebody in the city, the first thing that the Second Amendment crowd does is they're like, oh, let's leak to Fox that he had a weapon. You know, yeah. He can't have, well, that.
Probably had a weapon. This is, I mean, it's ancient history. Nobody remembers the name Philandro Castile. But, you know, some years ago, we had a case where there was a guy named Philandro Castile. I believe he was stopped by the cops. Yeah. He was carrying a weapon. He informed. He was legally entitled to. He informed the officer that he was armed, you know, at the time of the stop, so that there wouldn't be no surprise. And Philandro Castile wound up getting shot dead. And the NRA said jack shit about it.
Yeah, exactly. We have a couple more angles that we're vetting right now of this.
Philandro Castile was not white, though. So yeah. Maybe that's why, you know.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it doesn't count. You know, you don't have Second Amendment rights if you're not white.
Right.
Or, you know, if you're a lesbian or if you're kind of a liberal, a libtard. We're vetting a couple more angles of this. And so we'll take you to that once we get it. We'll take you to the press conference once that begins.
Look at this video, Tim.
I want to show you. We have another video. This was what I was referencing earlier. It's about 20 minutes ago. And this was from our friends at MS Now. And there's this guy on the street in Minneapolis. And I honestly almost started crying watching this. So I just want to show it to people just to give you a really close-up view of what's happening right now on the ground at South Minneapolis. Let's pull that up. Oh!
Fuck you! Stop! Look out! Damn! Just chill.
Okay?
I'm fine. I didn't even breathe anything. I'm just angry. I'm 7 years old. Fucking angry! Oh, fuck off. I think I'll need it, but we'll try it.
And just unbelievable, like, for what?
Welcome to Donald Trump's America.
For what?
Right? You
know? And this is a guy that is, you know, one of these Minnesota sweet Scandinavian types that has been brought to this. He's out in the street, smoke bombs everywhere. They're trying to disperse people that are trying to express their First Amendment rights to protest in this country after they killed somebody. Like, these fuckers come into Minneapolis and they kill a second person, and now they're attacking the citizens for expressing their rights. Like, this is what the don't tread on me crowd wants.
And again, important to remember that after Renee Good was murdered, DHS decided to send more people to Minneapolis. So this is, again, I mean, it is an escalation on top of an escalation. And I don't know what, you know, they knew what was going to happen. You put this many armed assholes in the streets with total immunity and no real mission, and the idea is just go beat on people. Like, of course they knew this was going to happen.
Yeah.
And this is why I said, like, I sure the idiot who just, like, gets off on shooting somebody may not be thinking of civil war, but Kristi Noem and Corey Lewandowski and Stephen Miller and J.D. Vance, like, they understand the powder keg they're building.
Yeah.
And the question is, like, well, why do you think they're doing it?
Yeah. I mean, JD understands that. JD was in the city, whatever, yesterday or 2 days ago. Time's a flat circle right now. But, like, just lying about attacking local law enforcement, calling them liars. Yeah. Like, there was a press conference of local law enforcement where they said their off-duty cops were being racially targeted and harassed by federal agents. And JD Vance said that they're lying. So, I mean, he's trying to escalate. He wasn't trying to create.
Which is, by the way, amazing that the people who say law enforcement never do anything wrong, you always have to trust law enforcement, absolutely, then when it is convenient to them, say, well, not that law enforcement.
Yeah, they're lying.
Those guys are liars.
That's the woke cop. I want to talk about, we've talked about the state response. And again, for everybody who's watching this, if we get a press conference out of Minneapolis, we expect we'll go to that. The federal, there's a real federal response. 7 Democrats took a really fucking bad vote last week, by the way, to move this budget forward as if it's normal time, including a couple who I've been fans of in the past, like Marie Guzman Perez, And I don't know what the fuck they were thinking. But basically, they worked with the Republicans to pass the DHS budget. But that has to go through the
Senate. Insanity.
Insanity if they took that vote. Total insanity. And honestly, it's just unacceptable. It's like, kind of doesn't even matter what they're for.
Should end their other issues.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. But this goes to the Senate now. And there are two elements of this politically that I think are worth talking about. One is, what do the 47 Democrats do? You can go to old school. You mentioned this is civil rights era time. We can go to where you can go to old school civil rights era type filibusters, where you try to block this and do whatever it takes to kill time and to use, your legislative leverage to block this. The other thing that I think is worth noting here is Susan Collins is the chair of the Appropriations Committee. This has to go through. She's up for re-election this year as a Republican, moderate. And this shit that's happening in Minneapolis is happening on a smaller scale right now in Maine. I did an interview with a guy who was on the ground yesterday talking about the way that the federal agents have been menacing people in Maine, because they also have a Somali community there. Huge, huge concerns about illegal immigration in Maine, by the way, the whitest state in the country. The fentanyl's coming in through Greenland down through Nova Scotia into Maine, I think is what they're concerned about there. But I talk about career ending. I would hope if Susan Collins pushes this through, given what is happening on the streets, I'm
sure that she'll be concerned. Put out a statement of concern.
What do you think? Concern. What do you think
about Susan Collins or about
the Democrats or what we might see next week? And because look, the Democrats have been at some level saying the right thing about this, but they haven't been incandescent with rage. With a few examples, Chris Murphy, who should shout out, was in San Antonio at the ICE facility, but they haven't. They haven't wanted to pick this fight, really. They wanted to pick the fight over healthcare last year, which ended up being strategically right, I think. But they haven't wanted to pick this fight. Two killings in Minneapolis. I think that the fight has been thrust upon them, whether they want to pick it or not, I guess.
If Amy Klobuchar wants to be the governor of Minnesota, then it seems to me that she should not allow this vote to move forward in the Senate. Right. If she has to fucking filibuster herself, she should do it. Yeah. But I don't think she'd have to do it herself. I think she could probably get quite a few colleagues to work with it. And the question is, so what should the asks be? And I think the asks should probably be around the conduct of DHS agents. And so it should be can't wear masks. We are going to redraw the lines of their immunity and, establish there is criminal liability for their actions, et cetera, et cetera, must be identified, and then probably establish some limits on the ways in which they can be deployed. Because, again, the scale of it is the thing. Right. Yep. If you put 100 ICE agents in Minneapolis, that's one thing. They can go around doing their thing, but they are also then subject to oversight by local law enforcement because of what, as you said, and with Mayor Fry, with your conversation with him. Yes. The whole point of the scale is to make them immune to local law enforcement because they have too many guns.
Yeah, that's right. I have two things here. I just want to say, since you shout out Amy Klobuchar, here's her statement so far. She said there's been another shooting involving federal agents in Minneapolis. I'm working to get more information. I'll update as soon as possible to the Trump administration, the Republicans in Congress who have stood silent. Get ICE out of our state now. Hopefully that's on the right direction. We do have another angle, another video of this shooting that I want to pull up now. I haven't actually seen this, so this is we're going to be watching this live together.
Yeah, unroll your windows. No, you're just spraying inside. Alright, let's go around.
Four? Okay, so I guess that's before the shooting, what we have there. And that's the guy that they were rolling up on. So it doesn't seem like he was pointing his gun at them, but we'll find out. I think Mayor Fry is live. So let's go to that. We'll stick around with you guys.
We have not been told any official reports of what has led up to the shooting, but we have seen the video that is circulating on social media. Our demand today is for those federal agencies that are operating in our city to do so with the same discipline, humanity, and integrity that effective law enforcement in this country demands. We urge everyone to remain peaceful. We recognize that there is a lot of anger and a lot of questions around what has happened, but we need people to remain peaceful. In the area, we have an unlawful assembly at this time. Minneapolis police have given multiple warnings for the crowd to disperse. We are asking for people to avoid the area and to leave if you are there. We have requested mutual aid from the Minnesota State Patrol and from all our local and county regional partners. We ask everyone to remain calm and to please do not destroy our own city.
I just saw a video of more than six masked agents pummeling one of our constituents and shooting him to death. How many more residents, how many more Americans need to die or get badly hurt for this operation to end? How many more lives need to be lost before this administration realizes that a political and partisan narrative is not as important as American values? How many times must local and national leaders must plead with you, Donald Trump, to end this operation and recognize that this is not creating safety in our city? As you'll hear from Director Sayre in just a second, we have seen these kinds of operations in other places, in other countries, but not here in America. Not in a way where a great American city is being invaded by its own federal government. I'm done being told that our community members are responsible for the vitriol in our streets. I'm done being told that our local elected officials are solely responsible for turning down the temperature. Just yesterday, we saw 15,000 people peacefully protesting in the streets, speaking out, standing up for their neighbors. Not a single broken window, not a single injury. Those peaceful protests embody the very principles that both Minneapolis and America was founded upon. Conversely, the mass militarized force and unidentified agents who are occupying our streets, that is what weakens our country. That is what erodes trust in both law enforcement and in democracy itself. So to everyone listening, stand with Minneapolis. Stand up for America. Recognize that your children will ask you what side you were on. Your grandchildren will ask you what you did to act to prevent this from happening again, to make sure that the foundational elements of our democracy were rock solid. What did you do to protect your city? What did you do to protect your nation? This is not what America is about. This is not a partisan issue. This is an American issue. This administration and everyone involved in this operation should be reflecting. They should be reflecting right now and asking themselves, what exactly are you accomplishing? If the goal was to achieve peace and safety, this is doing exactly the opposite. If the goal was to achieve calm and prosperity, this is doing exactly the opposite. Are you standing up for American families right now? Or are we tearing them apart? The invasion of these heavily armed mask agents roaming around on our streets of Minneapolis, emboldened with a sense of impunity, it has to end. This is not how it has to be. So, to President Trump, this is a moment to act like a leader. Put Minneapolis, put America first in this moment. Let's achieve peace. Let's end this operation, and I'm telling you, our city will come back. Safety will be restored. We're asking for you to take action now to remove these federal agents. Director Sayre.
My name is Rachel Sayre, and I am the director of the Emergency Management Department for the City of Minneapolis. I took this job to keep us safe because I live here, and this is my community. We are doing everything we can to mitigate the impacts of this terrible situation. The city's Emergency Operations Center continues to be activated, as it has throughout the surge in federal agents over the last few weeks. We are tracking impacts and coordinating the city's response to this situation, which is having profound repercussions in our community. I can't underscore enough how much Operation Metro Surge is impacting our city. Families with loved ones detained and those who are afraid to be in public lest they become targets need help accessing the most basic necessities like food, housing, and rides to school. Businesses are shuttering and our local economy is severely impacted, which means families are suffering just as we were rounding a corner in our recovery. Many of our Minneapolis residents, my neighbors, my friends, my community members are ceasing participation in public life, afraid to even go to the doctor. In response, the city enterprise continues to utilize our entire emergency apparatus. That means staff across departments, often around the clock, are putting their regular jobs on hold in order to respond to the impacts of Metro Surge. I want everyone to know there are numerous resources available to community members right now. We have mental health help available. We have food assistance, housing and rental assistance, legal help. We are sharing information about what to do if you are exposed to tear gas, pepper spray, or other chemical agents, and the state AGs and ACLU are collecting reports of rights violations. You can access these resources on the city's virtual resource center at minneapolismn.gov/ice. Please share this information with your neighbors. We have help and we want you to be able to access that. My background is in international humanitarian response in conflict zones in Yemen, Haiti, Syria, Iraq, and Ukraine. What I've seen here is what I've seen there. A powerful entity violently and intentionally terrorizing people, making them afraid to go outside so they can't earn a living, so that kids are forced out of school. This has a lasting generational impact. People can't plan a single day of their lives because they don't know who is around the corner and if their family member or neighbor is about to be taken away. In these times, you see both the best and the worst. The worst is the terror and the feeling of helplessness. The best is will continue to be our community's response. The way we are showing up for each other, that is the in the absolute worst of times. We're showing up for each other in the absolute worst of times. I'll turn it back to the mayor. Thank you.
We'll open it to questions.
We are seeing an incredible volatile situation unfolding right now around that scene. Is there any communication right now between local and federal law enforcement or cooperation, or where do those efforts stand to try to calm what's going on down there right now?
Yeah. I'll turn it to the chief to answer.
So the question was, there is a incredibly volatile scene in South Minneapolis right now, and the extent to of communication with law enforcement agencies. We have established a command post that is led by Minneapolis Police, and there are representatives from all of the regional, local, county, and state organizations. We have had communication with Homeland Security, but they have not been able to provide us any specific details around the incident itself. We are responsible for ensuring the safety of people on the streets of our city, and we are doing everything that we can to maintain the peace right now, led by Minneapolis police, but with the help of the Minnesota State Patrol, Hennepin and Ramsey County Sheriffs. Several suburban towns are in the city helping us with 911 calls. We have done an emergency recall of all sworn personnel back to duty. And we are working with the fire department right now to ensure that two small fires that were started in the area are safely extinguished. But again, we need everyone to avoid the area if possible. And the people who are in the area, we understand your frustrations. This is not sustainable. But we need people to leave the area at this time.
Is the National Guard involved?
We have communicated with the National Guard. They have been on standby for several days. And we have ensured the National Guard, as well as all of the local law enforcement partners, are aware of the situation.
Chief and Mayor, if I can ask you, this is a statement from Tricia McLaughlin, spokesperson for DHS. She said in her statement, an individual approached U.S. Border Patrol officers with a 9mm semi-automatic handgun. Seen here, they showed a picture of it. The officers attempted to disarm the suspect, but the armed suspect violently resisted. More details on the armed struggle are forthcoming. Fearing for his life and the lives and safety of fellow officers, an agent fired defensive shots. Medics on the scene immediately delivered medical aid. Is that what happened?
So Minneapolis police, the question was, you read a statement from DHS saying that a weapon was presented and there was attempts to disarm the person. Again, like I stated earlier, Minneapolis police, as well as, you know, our supervisors, our watch commander responded to the scene. We were not provided any public safety statement around the incident, what happened. We have since seen a video that is circulating online, like thousands of other people have at this time. So we do not know what happened prior to the recording that is online right now. I immediately called for the Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension to respond, to conduct an investigation. They are on the scene. I believe the FBI is on the scene as well. But I think the video speaks for itself. What I can tell you is we have identified this person, 37-year-old white male, resident of the city. The only interaction that we are aware of with law enforcement has been for traffic tickets. And we believe he is a lawful gun owner with a permit to carry.
Chief, can you clarify, was MPD cut out of this investigation? Has the BCA been cut out like we've seen from the two previous shootings?
The question was, has MPD been cut out of the investigation and has the BCA been cut out? As I stated, I immediately requested the BCA to respond. It's my understanding that they are on the scene. I have not heard anything otherwise. There was initially some information was relayed to me over the radio that our officers were told that they were either not needed or could leave. And I gave a direct order to ensure that Minneapolis police maintain the scene, as well as other state and local law enforcement.
Can you talk about the discrepancy?
Do you know whether it was multiple officers involved in the shooting or one officer? And do you know their whereabouts? Are they in custody at all or something?
So the question is there multiple officers involved in the shooting? That is the preliminary information. That is our understanding, that it was more than one law enforcement officer involved in the discharge. And again, there is public video that shows several law enforcement officers in a scuffle with someone.
Can you talk about the discrepancy? The initial reports said that the victim here was 51 years old. The information that you have, where is that from?
So the question was, the initial reports said the victim was 51. The information that I have is we sent Minneapolis police officers to the hospital with the individual who was shot, and they have since identified that person.
Two more questions.
Do you have the name of the individual who was shot?
I do, and I'm not releasing it.
Have you been able to talk with top ICE and Border Patrol officials to ask them to please be in on this, or have you talked to them, or have you been rejected?
The question was, have we talked with federal law enforcement to be in on this? We have had conversations with Homeland Security investigations this morning. We are told they do not have any information to share at this time, but we will attempt to maintain those communications going forward.
Last question.
question. You believe that they have no information to share at this time?
The question was, do I believe that they have no information to share at this time? I don't know if the individual that we were in contact with would or not. This is a Saturday morning. And just like it was for us, it was a scramble to do an emergency recall and to get people to the scene.
All right. Thank you, guys. We'll have more information if we get any later throughout the
day. All right. That was the press conference of local officials, Chief O'Hara, Mayor Fry in Minneapolis. Few things I want to note about that, and then we have a few other updates for you guys. O'Hara said that the victim is a 37-year-old white male who's a Minneapolis resident. We believe he's an American citizen, so it's two American citizens killed. We're going to show you a photo of him in a second. The Department of Homeland Security released a statement saying that the victim approached U.S. Border Patrol officers with a 9mm semi-automatic handgun. We'll see how that shakes out. AP has a report saying after the shooting, an angry crowd gathered and screamed profanities at federal officers, calling them cowards. And then one officer responded mockingly as he walked away, telling them boo hoo. I want to get JVL's opinion on one thing. You may have noticed my thumbs down. I was unhappy with the chief saying that the right thing to do right now is not gather in that spot to protest. I think people have a right to peacefully protest and assemble. It's the job of federal law enforcement to not crack down on them and not escalate. I think peaceful assembly is fine. That's my opinion. I want to get JVL's take on that in a second, but just let me pull up. We have this picture of the victim. I want to show that, and then we have a couple more videos, or maybe one more video angle. There he is. So, you know, what we learned from this photo, I think, is that this guy is monitoring. Well, he's a monitor. So what's happening? So obviously they're not that it would be any better if they were targeting the worst of the worst illegal immigrant or whatever. But this is not that. ICE has now been in Minnesota and killed what appears to be two citizen protesters rather than two undocumented immigrants. I want to show one more video. This is, I want to shout out the name of who gave us this video. Give me a second. We'll watch the video and then I'll credit them on the back. This is on the way up. Oh my God. So you can hear much more clearly there, all the gunshots.
I think it's 11.
11 gunshots, is what you count.
I think it was 11.
That's from the reporter. That's from reporter Bring Me the News that was on the ground. All right, JVL out there, what were your reactions from the press conference and the additional information we have? And I also think, just FYI, guys, stick around. We have our friend Chris Ostrushko, the Minnesota protester guy. He's going to be joining us here in a second.
Yeah, I mean, just very quickly, I mean, it's one thing to say, like, well, this has to end and this is not sustainable, but like, or what? And that is, it is a little bit plaintive for the mayor and the governor and the police chief, like saying, you know, Donald Trump, end this, you know, be a leader, put America first, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Or, right, and, you know, because if there is no or, then this isn't going to end, right? And, you know, I don't understand quite what, it's like the statement that the governor of Maine put out when she was like, you know, just please make no mistake that these tactics will not be welcomed. Well, that's not the question. The question isn't whether the residents of Maine will welcome them. It's whether the government of Maine will tolerate them.
Or allow. Yeah.
Right. Or allow them. That's, and so, you know, I would like a little bit more understanding of what time.
Yeah, I understand in the moment, right? Like, this is all happening very fast. You know, sure. You're trying to calm tensions.
This is figure skating judge stuff.
Yeah, yeah. That's in the initial press conference. But I think your point is right that once the dust settles on this tragedy, there'll be others probably. What happens next? And I think that's a very important question about what we're going to get from these guys. Because here's what we know, and I want to get to Chris 1 second, but here's what we know about the federal government's perspective on this. As we mentioned earlier, Stephen Miller wants escalation. It seems like J.D. Vance wants escalation. Donald Trump, I don't know. But here's one thing I do know. is that, and we have a lot of reporting on this, is that he has some regrets about the post George Floyd response from the government. Mm-hmm. He wanted the government to crack down harder. Yep. And so to me, if you just learn from that, I think that he sees this as a second chance to do the
rerun George Floyd.
Yeah, to do the crackdown, the, you know, when the looting starts, the shooting starts. Like, that's what he wanted then. And I think that that the escalation here serves that psychological need, to use a phrase of his that he used about Greenland. And I think that's pretty alarming. And I think that speaks to your point about how, you know, local officials are gonna have to do more than say calm down if they want this to stop. Okay, we have Chris Ostrushko, I believe. Do we, Chris? Minnesota.
Hello.
Angry Man. Hey, man. Thank you for jumping in with us. I don't know. Give us an update. Where are you at? And are you heading back out to the protest? What's the lay of the land?
Yeah, we are headed back down. I'm going to go check out where this actually took place. I know people that are actually there, and I've heard the reports that the observer was armed, but I know for a fact he was not armed. They claim he was armed with a six-hour standard issue, which was a gun that ICE was issuing to the ICE agents up until last year, because they found out that it was having a lot of misfires. So I just question everything that they say, because, you know, as we know, as we see their press conferences, it's all covering their tracks. For instance, with the young child that they abducted, saying that the parents didn't want him, and like they're running some sort of daycare at the ICE facility, which is absolutely not true, because we've been questioning people. We've been, you know, we're out observing. I'm out questioning some of these people, talking to families, and I know that's absolutely not true. And if there's one thing I can't stand, it's just straight up lying. And that's what we see here from the administration, from Bovino, from the ICE agents. You know, yesterday we had this protest, and it seems like the media kind of played it down with the numbers that showed up. I was supposed to meet a Star Tribune photographer there who couldn't find me, and he documented the whole thing and estimated that there were well over 100,000 people in the streets of Minneapolis. We shut down the city. It gave me goosebumps. There was not one incident of aggression. It was a 100% peaceful protest. In fact, it turned into a giant dance party, probably the biggest dance party you've ever seen in your life. I mean, it was heartwarming, because people were holding up signs, you know, that were using my verbiage from the original video that went viral, and it was unbelievable. And then we wake up to this today. I'm at a loss for words. I don't know what to say,
man. Hey, where are you headed? I guess one thing is, what do we think where the locus of the protests are going to be today, and what you think the plan is going to be for protesters who want to speak out?
Well, the protest, I believe, will probably be at Whipple, is where it usually is. You know, that's the bee's hive, I call it now, because the ICE agents are coming and going like bees coming out of a beehive. But I think that's where the protests are going to be. I don't know if there'll be a protest on the ground at the actual shooting. We're heading out because we're going to be observers today. That is my plan. That was my plan since yesterday. I want to be out. I want to document, just like that gentleman was documenting. So I don't know, you know, what's safe anymore, because apparently these guys can do whatever they want.
All right, you know, man. Well, stay safe. When you get out there, keep us posted. Shoot us a text and let us know what you're hearing on the ground, and we'll check back in. All right, brother? I appreciate you very much. Stay safe, all right?
Thank you very much.
All right.
Tim, one thing real quick that from the news conference.
Yeah.
That Chief O'Hara did say that it was his understanding that the victim here did have a lawful permit to carry. So that is, again, it's like another piece of news here. And when you start squaring this with the stuff being said by DHS, who is, you know, if you look at the statement, I think the exact wording is like approached the agents with a 9mm gun, right? It's like, well, with it where?
Right.
Right. And again, this is like, you just, and it is kind of a problem. It's not just a problem that the government has put a couple thousand armed masked agents in the streets of Minneapolis. It's also a problem that the government now openly lies all the time, right? They just saw, wow, that woman was a domestic terrorist, you know? I just don't know how, like, right, this short circuits all the things that we have in place to deal with the problems that law enforcement creates sometimes.
Yeah.
That all goes out the window when the government is not even trying to be careful, right? And in fact, when they're just doing open propaganda. And I don't know, right?
And I think this relates to, this is just a active scene right now, and I think we're all trying to figure out the best we can. I think Chris was making some comments about like what we know and about what he thinks he knows. We don't have the video yet of what exactly this guy was doing when he approached law enforcement. I think for a long time I've been saying, and we've been saying on here, that like this is gonna come to a head. I mean, we are a heavily armed country. A lot of people have the right to carry, and if you have masked thugs going up to people, bad shit are gonna happen, you know. And we've all said that was gonna happen, and it was extremely predictable. And not only did they do nothing to try to prevent that, they've done everything possible to try to incite incidents like this. We have another video angle. I do want to warn again, it's from Bring Me the News, who's on the ground there. I want to warn people that you can see from this angle now the body of the victim on the ground. So fair warning, but let's take a look at that. All right, I think that's enough for me. The calling for the scissors, and I guess the one difference between this case is they at least one of the 19 agents there tried to get the guy some medical attention, unlike when Renee Good was executed in the street and they just let her die, bleed out. So now we're back on the ground here with kind of a live feed. I think that our colleague Sarah Longwell is going to be joining us here momentarily, and we're going to keep our eye out for additional video as it comes. JBL, I don't know, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, I'm a little stuck on the problem that you can't trust what the government says, right? And it's just such, that is a sea change from how the American government has ever worked. And we saw there was a piece of news last night where one of the high level agents in the Minneapolis field office resigned because she tried to launch an investigation on the Renee Good killing.
Yes.
And was told, no, you can't do that. I mean, what? What the hell is going on?
Well, that's what's been going on at the federal office of the FBI since the beginning of the term. New York Times story of the, I think it was 45 agents that have been pushed out for various reasons, talking to the Times. And like time and again, anyone who is trying to, you know, look into malfeasance by the government, past or present, is being kicked out, you know, kind of like we're a Soviet state. I want to welcome our colleague Sarah Longwell in here. Sarah,
hey guys.
I just love to hear your thoughts on what we've been seeing this morning.
So, I was like, you know, out with my kids and then saw it breaking. But when I got back, I turned on and they were doing the press conference.
Yeah.
Did you guys watch the press conference?
We watched the press conference live. Yeah.
Was your reaction the same as mine, which is that basically what they were saying to us is that the ICE official or ICE DHS, whoever, is not cooperating with local law enforcement, like not giving them any information.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. The chief had said that. Yeah.
And he seemed mad about it.
Yes. They tried to kick him off the scene. So this is Minneapolis Star Tribune reported this, that the chief said that when their local law enforcement tried to go secure the scene, do what you do after a killing, the agent, the federal agents tried to kick them out and they stood their ground, which is pretty.
Yeah. He said that he instructed them to stay.
Yep.
But he was sort of describing like there's a person I'm in touch with, but you know, they're not, you know, the thing that was so striking to me is that he's like, there's a video circulating online. That's what we've seen. Like, you know, they're basically operating, their local law enforcement is having to operate off of the same information that like the internet is, because they're not giving local law enforcement like the updates, the briefs working together the way things would normally work. I also don't know if you guys, because you guys have been on here and I've been just like watching TV and scrolling the internet, there's like a number of videos that are emerging of different angles on this. It's just like with the Renee Good situation, where this is just people on the scene with their cameras. They're uploading what they witnessed, cars that are going by. There's one of a car going by where they catch the beginning of the interaction, where he's kind of just standing there and they push him back. But he's not brandishing a weapon. And I don't know if you guys have any more information on this than I do, but some of the new angles that are coming out, it's very clear he is already on the ground, already completely subdued. I think somebody shoots him once, and then they just empty their guns into him.
Yeah, I want to pull up two pictures here because we did do that earlier, but we have a new. This is another still of the victim beforehand, and to just make the point that you're making about. And to JVL's point earlier about how, you know, what we've heard from our lying government is that he was brandishing his weapon, or that he, what was the phrase, JVL, that he approached with the weapon?
Approached with a weapon.
Yeah, approached with a weapon. You can see here, you know, here's the victim in the black
He's
hat.
Filming. He's filming.
He's filming with his, most importantly, with his right hand.
Yeah.
Right? So his phone is in his right hand, not his gun.
Right.
So I, this is all developing. You know, we'll continue to see more angles and continue to bring them to you. But again, similar to, like you said, Sarah, to the Renee Good situation, this is not, and it does not appear like this is somebody that was, you know, a crazy person charging the cops with the weapon, at least initially. I want to also go back to that very original image, guys. Do you have a second of this, the shooter? Because this is to Sarah's point that we pulled up. It was the shooter on the left side with the red circle that we started at the beginning of the live stream. Like, to me, this image, when we pull this up, Sarah, is the key point here, which is the guy had shot him.
Yeah.
And everyone had dispersed. Here it is. Everyone had dispersed. All the ICE agents, all the masked guys had dispersed. And there he is still, far away from the body, still with his weapon, firing.
Like,
yeah, that's firing. He's firing right now at that. During this screenshot, he's still firing.
No, this is what's coming out. Like, he like empties his clip into this guy who was already on the ground. And I got to tell you, okay, so we are not that far off from the Renee Good thing. We all spent a lot of time talking about it on camera, analyzing it. And one of the things that really, I think, became a flashpoint in the Renee Good killing was the fact that you could hear him saying fucking bitch after he shot her. Because what it demonstrated was a total lack of professionalism and a rage on his part after he'd murdered her, right? Like he got it off his chest. This is the same energy from this guy right here. The guy is already dead, not necessarily dead, but he's already subdued. His body's already on the ground. He's already clearly hurt. And he's just emptying his clip into him. That's that kind of like just rage. I'm just going to make sure this guy is dead and can't be treated and can't, you know, get medical attention. Like, we're just going to make sure he's dead.
I want to show that video again. We showed it about a minute ago of the approach, but you know, this is all happening live. It's kind of hard to, you know, kind of orient yourself on what we're looking at. But this is the video from the screenshot of the victim with his weapon. I want to show the video of what preceded it once more, so that we kind of know what we're looking at here. And this is the one you referenced, Sarah. It's coming from inside the car driving by. Let's watch that. Do we have that ready, guys? Maybe.
Yeah.
This isn't the one I'm talking about.
That's not the one I'm thinking of either. This is not the one I'm
talking about. We can stop this. Just pull it up when you got it, guys. It's the video. It's coming from inside the car. That was posted there by the J freaking C on X, who has been doing really good work on social media. So we'll get to that in a second. But I don't know, JVL, do you have any additional thoughts on what Sarah was popping off on there?
I don't. I'm sorry. This is one of those things where I'm getting like angrier and angrier.
Yeah, you're about to get angrier and angrier when you see this video. Because this is this video that we're about to show you, and I'll talk about it as our guys get it ready. I think is the closest video that we see to what happens preceding, because the guy is holding his camera phone with his right hand, and you see him standing in the street, and then the officers are pushing him back. So again, we don't know necessarily what happened between the end of this video we're about to show you and when he gets killed, but like the initial, we can now see like kind of this initial encounter between the victim and the federal agents and how they push him back from inside the car. So we'll get to that in a second, but I just, man, it is, it's ready. Okay, great. Let's take a look.
Things got buried.
He's on the left here.
Yeah, I'm rolling your windows. And then we're just right inside. Alright, let's go around.
There we go. Now you can see him get pushed back there. I mean,
so we can't see his left hand. So in trying to parse these videos, I just want to acknowledge that like what we can see and what it looks like from any angle that we've seen is he is standing there with his phone. And I've now seen a couple of videos of the angle of that ICE agent sort of pushing him back. But he looks like he's just standing in the street filming. I have not seen any video yet that it is the guy approaching the police officers. Not that that necessarily matters. That's just... That here's the one other point I want to make that I'm sure you guys have already made since you have been on here, but I'd like to make it myself, which is Please. As I was watching the update and he was they were reading DHS's update, one of the reporters was giving it to him, and both the reporter and as a viewer, you sit there and say, why would we believe this? Like the reporter's like, is this true? Is what DHS is saying is true? Which is deeply important that we are now at a place where people question out of the gate the truthfulness of the American government, because we all know that they will rush to frame this to serve their own purposes in ways that do not have to have any relationship to reality, which is exactly what they did with Renee Good. Like the thing... There was so much that was horrifying about it, but one of the really, really horrifying things, because it's much bigger than any one incident, is the government's willingness to lie. Donald Trump's willingness to lie. Donald Trump lied about it out of the gate, and so did Kristi Noem.
Sarah, Jerry Bielva and I have already chewed this over, but I want to get your take on it, because I think it's a really tough question, right? Because there's this emotional response that you want the good guys here, the local officials, to escalate this against via the government using every means necessary. On the other hand, there are risks associated with that. You know, you're seeing people calling for Tim Walz to say he should call in the National Guard. I that's interesting to me as an option, but Donald Trump could then federalize it. Then what happens? You know, questions about what that police chief and what Mayor Fry can do, and whether they should be arresting the ICE agent in that picture. You know, are there other tactics that can be used? And those guys, I think for good reason, I think in the initial press conference, were really focused on trying to calm tensions and get people to be peaceful. But eventually this is going to reach a boiling point where the local officials are going to have to make some hard choices. I'm just kind of wondering what your reaction is to that.
Yeah, you know, JBL and I don't know if we argued about this, but we certainly discussed it on the Secret podcast, because, you know, I am always loath to do things that unnecessarily escalate situations. So the question is when is it necessary to escalate? I think my preference instead And this is going to be a quick reaction. I'm going to reserve the right to change my mind on this. But what I was sitting there thinking as I watched, you know, Governor Pritzker was on the TV just after the whole thing ended. I think what Democrats should do right now is come out with one voice and demand that Trump remove ICE. Like, rather than demand, like, having the local people escalate and put more people in harm's way, like, everybody should be saying to Donald Trump right now, get people out. Like, they should all be supporting walls and phrase demand. They should all be calling the White House saying, get these people out of here. That's the best outcome, is that Trump, for political and moral reasons, is forced to remove the level of ICE agents that they have. And so I think that the Democrats should be calling the Republicans and saying, demand that Trump get these guys out. Like, there should be one voice on this. And I feel like that would be a slightly better outcome than just escalating things, but it might be necessary.
Yeah. I mean, I think I agree that that's a good step. I don't know that they're going to respond to it. And so eventually the next steps come into question. You mentioned, Sarah, and it's so fast. This is all just kind of like the Renee Good thing. We couldn't see his left hand. And one of our producers here grabs this kind of screenshot. It's blurry, but you can't.
Oh, there is his left hand. I can see it.
You can see his left hand.
And it's empty.
It looks empty. Doesn't look like it's a gun.
Tim, can we ask Sarah the political question that you and I sort of batted around with? Sure. Should Democrats in the Senate pitch a fit on this? Shut down the Senate over this. This is a real, like, you know, this is, I mean, there's a moral version
happening
of this
week. Also, it happens to be happening. Yeah.
The Sarah, you know, put on your strategist hat question of this.
So I got to say, you know, you know how much I love all my moderates. I love when people are, you know, are circumspect and are willing to buck their parties. I thought it was insane that 7 Democrats voted to keep funding ICE recently. It's insane.
Unacceptable, actually.
Totally unacceptable. And so, like, that's not – when people say they want heterodox, that doesn't mean what they want is just people who are going to vote with Republicans on crappy stuff. Like, this is an opportunity. Reassert your power, Congress. You have the power of the purse. You are funding these people. And even if you want to make an excuse, even if you think, look, they should be able to do their jobs and we want to remove illegal immigrants or whatever, the idea that we need a reset as a country is real, right? You like, responsible people right now should be saying, we're not going to keep funding this. We will not give you money for anything else until you stop this paramilitary force in America's streets.
Hey, Sarah, we got to bring in, we have a correspondent for NPR News in Minneapolis, Matt Sepich. Is it Sepich?
Sepich.
Ugh. All right. Well, I'm close. Okay. We're doing it live. Matt, give us a lay of the land of what you're seeing on the ground there.
Well, I was just at a news conference here in Minneapolis City Hall with Mayor Jake.
Do we lose his audio?
You lost your audio.
I lost my audio. Let me try one more time here. Okay, is it working?
You're back.
I'm back. Okay. As I said, I don't know at what point it cut out. I'm in Minneapolis City Hall right now. I just got done at a news conference with the mayor of Minneapolis, Jacob Frey, and police chief Brian O'Hara. They, of course, are calling for calm. They're describing what's a volatile scene in South Minneapolis, a few miles from here at 26th Street and Nicollet Avenue, where this man was shot this morning by federal agents. And the police chief has declared that there is an unlawful assembly there. We have heard reports that there were a couple of small fires that were put out. I am not there myself, so I can't tell you about any, you know, anything more specific than that. But what I can relay to you is what the mayor and police chief said today. Again, they're all calling for calm. The mayor is saying that telling President Trump directly to end this now, abide by your campaign slogan and put America first and America's cities first, and make things safe. He says he is done being told to turn down the temperature, and that it's up to state and local officials to turn down the temperature and turn down the rhetoric.
I saw that the police chief in that presser kind of discouraged people from going to the scene to protest. Absolutely. Do we know where kind of the public protest is going to center? Like, what do we expect in the city?
Not sure yet. It seems that people have been gathering there, and it has been volatile. As I mentioned, the chief, Brian O'Hara, said that it is an unlawful assembly. He's urging people to avoid that area, to go home, and just don't get anywhere near where this man was shot. What the mayor said too, which was striking, he compared and contrasted what he saw yesterday here in downtown Minneapolis. In fact, it was just right down the street from where I am. We had tens of, you know, he said 15,000 people, who knows, it may have been more, marching peacefully through the streets and protesting the Trump administration's crackdown in this city. He noted there was not one person injured of all those thousands. There was not one broken window. And he has said at past news conferences not to take the bait from the Trump administration. He says, and other officials say, they are seeking to stoke violence and protest peacefully.
I mean, they've killed more people than Minneapolis citizens have killed this year, I think. So.
I think you're right, Tim. They there are now two shootings, of course, Renee Macklin Good on January 7th, and this 37-year-old man today. Actually, you know, both people 37 years old. Initial reports that we got ahead of this news conference had said that the man who was killed was 51 years old. That turned out not to be accurate. And I did ask the chief how he learned this new information. He said that one of his officers went with the man in the ambulance to Hennepin County Medical Center, just a few miles from the shooting scene, and was able to confirm his identity. Now, he did not release the man's name, but said he is 37 years old, white male, American citizen. His only interactions with the criminal justice system, if you could call it that, were traffic tickets, and said that he had a permit to carry. And immediately before this news conference,
he did have a permit to carry. That was something we were speculating about.
He did have a permit to carry in Minnesota. Most states, you can get a permit to carry fairly legally, and this man had one. I should note too that ahead of this news conference, the Department of Homeland Security began seeding a narrative that this man was violent. They immediately released an image of what they said was a handgun and some magazines that they found with this man. Again, under American law, under Minnesota law, under the Second Amendment, it appears that this man was carrying this firearm legally. Mayor Fry said that, you know, he witnessed this video. I'm sure you all have seen it too. He described it as a pummeling by six agents shooting this man in the street.
All right, Matt. Please keep us posted, man.
I sure will.
Appreciate it, you popping on, and we'll stay in touch. All right.
All right. Take care.
Thanks.
All right. We've been going for a while now, and I don't know how much more information we're going to be getting. So maybe we'll go around the horn with a final thought, and then as things develop, you can keep an eye on our YouTube page here. Bill Kristol's always live on Sundays at noon, so he'll be back tomorrow, and obviously we'll be keeping you posted as we get new information. But I don't know. JVL, do you want to go first?
Just two things. First of all, we have somebody in texted me to say, you know, this is where we are right now. This is where conservatism has led. We have to accept school shootings as just the inevitable price of doing business, because it is imperative that everybody be able to walk around carrying a gun. Also, if you are walking around legally carrying a gun, agents of the government can use that as pretext to murder you on the street. Cool. Great. Good to know. I just want to underline something. We talked about this, but, you know, it was now an hour ago at this point. The people of Minneapolis and what they are doing is heroic and important. And I just think we should all appreciate it and appreciate that they are putting themselves really on the line for all of us. Like, they're not just protecting their neighbors at this point. This is this is a holding action being performed on behalf of liberal democracy everywhere in America. And I am incredibly grateful and in awe of the way in which normal people are standing up when so many of our elites have decided not to.
Sarah?
All right, I'm going to say a few things. One is JBL talks about conservatism. One of the things that I think drew many of us to conservatism in our younger days was that we were against jackbooted thugs being able to murder American citizens, right? This was inside something that conservatives were supposed to stand for, which is these guys aren't showing their faces. They're not showing identification to people, and they are murdering them in their own streets. Conservatives should be opposed to that. And instead, I am watching them run cover for these people left and right and talking about how, no, you should just obey. You know what? They're allowed to protest.
And they're allowed to tape in their own streets.
They are. This is their home. And so that's one thing. Number two is we've got to really get our heads around the fact that we cannot trust the things coming out of our government. And I was watching the police officer give the updates on what was happening, and reading his body language, he seemed enraged. And he seemed enraged by the idea that people were there causing chaos in their streets, making it impossible for them to do their jobs. Them, the local police, have real responsibilities there. ICE are the outsiders. And so, you know, and then to JVL's point about the protesters and stuff, I got to tell you, when we went out here in D.C., it is really cold here in D.C. It's the coldest I've felt it, right? It was like -2 this morning, which never happens in D.C. Do you know what the temperature is right now in Minneapolis? Do you know how cold it is out there? And I'm watching people. There's a 70-year-old man just standing there. Someone's filming him, and he's just saying, I'm so mad. Like, what are they doing? Get out of here. We don't want you here. You have to listen to the people of a state. Like, that's states' rights. Like, anything we've ever believed in our entire lives, it's all being violated right now. And we should demand conservatives be better. We should demand Republicans do it. I think if we get wrapped up in the idea of, like, you know, and it might escalate anyway in Minneapolis. We might be on tonight because more things might pop off. I hope it doesn't. But, like, you're now creating, and people are already mad about Renee Good for good reason. Like, they're already enraged, and now there's going to be more rage. And it would not surprise me if there's more people on the streets, which gives more pretextual stuff for action. And so I want to reiterate what JBL says, though. Like, people should go out and say, we don't want this. That is good. I understand that the police are saying, you know, nobody should go out, but, like, what are we supposed to do when the government is lying to us? You have to go out and say,
go out.
We oppose this.
Go out. This relates to my final point, which is I keep wanting to go back to the 30,000 foot view of all this, you know, because I'm going to get into fights with people on the internet, I'm sure, over the next 2 days over, like, the screenshots and the videos. But the broader point is that there's no fucking reason for this. Right. Like, the federal government has killed 2 American citizens in Minneapolis for no reason. Like, there is not a purpose. It is not like the Civil Rights Act where they're trying to let people, black people get into the schools. We need the federal agents to go protect them so they have a right to an education. It's not because there's this overwhelming immigrant violence problem in Minneapolis that, like, required federal troops to deal with. It's not because, like, it's for nothing. It's for show. It's for their whole kayfabe. It's like they want to do authoritarianism propaganda. That is why people are in this. That is why the federal agents are in Minnesota, you know, for their propaganda purposes only. Like, they are not there to solve any real problem. And as a result, when members of that city are pissed that they're being used as propaganda tools and that their neighbors are getting hassled and harassed, you know, in service of their propaganda, and they go out and speak out about it, the government is killing them. like in response. It is a fucking outrage. There's no reason for it. Like it is. And so like, rather than even getting bogged down in all of the details of this killing or the Rene Good killing, I just think it's important to continue to focus on the fact that like these mass thugs in our streets that are killing people are doing it only in service of Donald Trump's propaganda, and that they have no right to be there. The mayor doesn't want them. The governor doesn't want them. They're not solving any problems, and they should get the fuck out. So to recap, 37-year-old Minnesota resident was killed by the federal agents in South Minneapolis. There were 11 shots fired. We're going to continue to cover the situation as it develops. Mayor Fry's final message to Trump was, let's end this operation now. Our city will come back. We're asking for action now to remove the federal agents. Our colleague Bill Chris will be live tomorrow. And if there's more stuff in the meantime, we'll be back. So appreciate everybody. See you, Sarah. See you, JBL.
See you guys.